Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And you just never know in life what you're going to encounter or what you're going to hear from people that claim to be Bible teachers when I don't know what Bible they're reading, but it gets crazier by the day. Now, I didn't know that much about this man, Todd White. I had seen him here and there, but I never really listened to any of his sermons. So I had heard a clip a few months ago where he claims that Jesus wasn't God when he walked the earth. So, of course, that piqued my attention. I was like, what, are you kidding me? You know, how can you say that you're a Christian and you say that you're friends with Benny Hinn and you're friends with Kenneth Copeland and you're being invited to all these so-called Christian events, but you don't really believe that Jesus was God when he walked on the earth. So now figure that one out. Can anybody please help me to understand how anyone could take this guy seriously? But it's kind of like when we were growing up in the 1960s, it was peace, love, and Woodstock or something like that. You know? And everything was beautiful. And so it's kind of like how people treat the gospel today. They don't really study, or they don't really try to find out what these people believe. They just accept them and they just say, well, everything is beautiful. So we know that God is love and we don't want to judge. And so no matter what anybody says, as long as they say that they're born again and they're filled with the Spirit of God. And so we just believe them and we just love them. And it's so stupid. It's just stupid. How can anybody give this man any credibility at all when he makes such a stupid statement that Jesus Christ laid down his divinity? How does God stop being God? Now, that's a mystery, isn't it? So, but anyway, I was amazed when I heard that. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, here's the clip. You can hear it for yourself.
Changes their mind and get swayed by doctrine. They're still not your issue. The issue is the demonic is trying to infiltrate in any way they possibly can. Message, this reality of Jesus coming here, fully God and fully man, and laying divinity aside, brings the most persecution that I've ever seen in my whole life. I've never seen anything more that the body of Christ has been taught against than this right here. And he comes up to me and he goes, hey man, I just want to...
I guess you would be receiving persecution. And he's got a funny idea about what persecution is, because he thinks because people try to correct his doctrine that he's being persecuted. Well, it's like, get over it already, because that's not persecution because somebody talks about you. That's hardly persecution. Persecution is when you die like a Inquisition saint who died at the stake, being burned to death and having your tongue ripped out, and then also being fed to the lions at the Colosseum in Rome. That's persecution. Oh, Jesus, they tried to throw him off a cliff. Yeah. And the Apostle Paul, he was beaten and stoned and left the shipwreck. That's persecution. But because somebody calls you a false teacher and tries to correct your ridiculous doctrines, talk about doctrines of devils, and you're talking about, this man is talking about, it's the devil. The devil is getting in there and saying these things, and it's of the devil. No. The devil is the father of lies, and that's a lie. Jesus Christ never laid down his divinity when he walked the earth. That's one of the most idiotic, demonic, I mean, talk about demonic, demonic teachings that I have ever heard. Totally demonic. So let's look here at a couple scriptures before we get into this any further, but Philippians 2. Now, I'm going to compare this scripture from the King James and with a few scriptures from other translations. What you can probably see, which I saw myself a while back when I was looking into this, if people are reading some of these other translations, I can see where they can be misled on this particular scripture. So let's start at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, that's verse 6. King James says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So that's saying that Jesus was equal with God. Well, if you look at the New American Standard Bible, it has a totally different meaning, because it says, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So that changes the whole meaning of it, because it says he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So in other words, he couldn't grasp the idea of being equal with God. Well, that's how you could see some of these other versions can take a scripture and twist it. So then in the mind of someone that's not educated, biblically educated, they would say, well, look, Jesus said he couldn't even grasp the thought of being equal with God. So then it leads to the error of why Jesus didn't think when people say that Jesus was only a man when he walked the earth. But then again, in Philippians 2:8, it says that, and being found in fashion as a man. So we know what fashion means. It means to be dressed a certain way. So Jesus appeared as a man, but he never laid down his divinity. He never stopped being God. It's just ridiculous that anyone could make such a stupid statement. And so this next clip I'm going to play is about a 5-minute clip. And I think the man's name is Dan Moeller. And I never heard of this guy until today, actually, when I was doing the research for this program. But he's taught a mentor of Todd White. And he comes up with this crazy thing too, that Jesus couldn't have been God when he walked on the earth. Now, you have to be, you can't be saved. I would have to say this. You cannot be saved and make such a ridiculous statement that Jesus Christ, the Jesus that walked the earth, was not God, but he was only a man. Oh, please. You just can't have any spiritual understanding at all to make this kind of stupid statement. But this clip now is about 5 minutes, but here you'll hear some of Todd White, and then you'll hear this man, Dan Moeller.
Oh, this is so good. This puts you on par with Jesus. This puts you on par with Jesus, because he came as a man. One of the biggest mistakes we've made on the earth and in churches is we still always see him as his God, but he came as a man. He even made sure he called himself the Son of Man constantly. He came as a man.
Why? Because that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus. No, Jesus never healed the sick as God. Jesus healed the sick as a man in perfect relationship with God.
First Adam blew it big time. Failed to fulfill what he was destined for and designed for. The second Adam came and fulfilled everything the first Adam was granted and given and called to. He fulfilled what Adam failed. You follow it? Simple. The last Adam. Therefore, modeled the life that you and I were created for. We've made him a ticket to heaven. His earthly ministry, Jesus in the flesh, we've made him here and said, well, that was Jesus and made us here. And said, well, that was Jesus and made us here. When he came in the flesh and was anointed by God, he laid down his reputation. He emptied himself. Why would God have to anoint him if he was came as God? Already anointed. He came as a man. Anointed by God. He got baptized just like you to do one thing that he didn't already do.
Follow him.
He even went, and John the Baptist had a hard time knowing it was Jesus in the flesh, the Son of God in the flesh. And he said, you want me to baptize you? It's you that needs to baptize me. He said, permit it, John, so all righteousness could be fulfilled. It's him. Well, if he's God, see, he's modeling the way. He says, the things I do, you'll do. In John 20, he says, as the Father sent me, I send you. He calls us the body of Christ. That's the embodiment of Christ, of who he is. That's his terms. We didn't make that up. It's here. Ah! Come on. It's just simple. I know I'm kind of machine gunning now. I didn't want to do that in this school, but there's something on me that comes on me that I just start... And I really have nothing to do with it. I really don't. It just happens. You have no idea. I want to go somewhere else right now, and I'm here. Life. Jesus' life is revealing who we're called to be. Everything in his life on the earth is available to us. Everything. Or he wouldn't have said, follow me.
People say, well, you can't. Well, you're wrong, because the Bible says to follow him.
The things I do, you will do if you believe. You find a limitation for me in that. Don't say, well, that was Jesus. That was Jesus as a man, not God. Anointed by God. If he came as God, he wouldn't need anointed. If he came as God, Holy Spirit wouldn't have had to come upon him in River Jordan. If he came as God, he wouldn't have been tempted at all points, because you can't tempt God.
He had to be tempted at all points, yet without sin. And Scripture says that it is impossible for God to be tempted. And Jesus was tempted at all points. That scripture alone verifies that when he was here, he walked this out as a man.
He came as a man, anointed by God. How Jesus of Nazareth, the man, was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and power. Why? Because he emptied himself, laid down his glory, made himself of no reputation, came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and God breathed on that. Couldn't follow him. People say, well, you can't. Well, you're wrong, because the Bible says to follow him.
He came as a man empowered by all that God is, but it was without measure. God didn't hold back. God just... It's the Father's good pleasure. Remember the kings in the Old Testament? How the kings in the Old Testament, they get moved in their heart and they give somebody like up to half of the kingdom? Sounded like a good gesture. I mean, that was cool. It's a king. I give you up to half the kingdom. God's not like that. He says, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give. He told us to follow him. If he came as God, it would be impossible to follow him. If he came as a man anointed by God, we could follow him. Come on, this thing is simple. He said, the things I do, you'll do also. Why? Because the same Spirit of God that was in him has come upon us. The Bible teaches that. The devil's very strategic, and we've probably not made him work so hard in a lot of areas because we've so learned who we are through life and through the world that when the great good news of the gospel comes, it seems to smack into the wall we've built of just how bad we are, messed up, and... how much help we need and all that stuff of just how bad we are, messed up, and how much help me is a lie. Who I think I am needs to change because Christ sends a whole new message.
Oh, dear. I think he has too high of an opinion of himself. I'm always amazed when I'm doing these programs and I say, Lord, what is going on? How are people buying this stuff? How are they flocking to these meetings? How do these people even get an audience of people that claim to be Christians? It's like, don't people have any discernment? You have to be responsible to look in the Bible and find out if what somebody is telling you is true. And then if they're not telling you the truth, then you need to run far, far away from these liars. Revelation 22:15 says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. They can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. They can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. These people make a career of lying about Jesus, and it seems that a large group of God's people love to have it. So where do you think also Todd White gets some of his false teachings from, also from his friend Kenneth Copeland? Now here's Kenneth Copeland on Jesus, that Jesus had to be born again.
Jesus thing, and I am truly a Jesus freak. And it's not changed, it's gotten way worse. But, I got to get this in me. Got it. Faith teaching, like crazy teaching. And people hate Oral Roberts. People hate Kenneth Hagin because they have no Holy Spirit. No relationship with Jesus. So they hate these people. It's so crazy. And to tell people that I'm a Christian and I'm in love with Jesus, but I hate the charlatan, pretty much explains that you really have no relationship with God. And when you're filled with Jesus, you get persecuted by people that are anti-Christ. Anti-Christ isn't anti-Jesus Christ. Anti-Christ is anti-anointing. Christ means the anointing. So anti-Christ is anti-anointing. There are people that say they believe in Jesus that are totally against the anointing, that are anti-Christ in nature. What I don't want anybody to do is stumble. And I know that the miraculous is a stumbling block. They call me a prosperity preacher. When I had Kenneth come here, Kenneth Copeland, who like people, oh my, I've never met more people that hate somebody in my whole life than people hate Kenneth. I've never seen anything like it. I'm like, it's amazing.
One born again human being defeated all
This whole group of young firebrands, they got me all turned on, glory to God. Dangerous, you understand that?
Yes, sir, I do.
I am spiritually lethal, brother.
That's right. I'm so glad you're on our team.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad you're in my foxhole.
Trying to find out what's wrong over here and what's wrong over there. Start going after Jesus. What about love hoping the best? Love believes the best. If you know that God loves you, you'll love your neighbor. You won't accuse your neighbor. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh, isn't that good news? Whoa. I tell you what, that just thrills me beyond.
Oh, please. No wonder real Christians don't like Kenneth Copeland. He's a false teacher. Oh, a born-again man. A born-again man. What born-again man are you talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus. A born-again man. Huh. I guess real Christians don't like to hear that about their Jesus. I don't like to hear that about my Jesus. No, I don't want to hear about my Jesus having to be born again. Why would I want a Jesus that had to be born again? I don't believe it. I'm just amazed. He says, people are antichrist because they don't want the anointing. Stop it already. Just stop. These people are so biblically illiterate. I doubt that they even crack open their Bibles most of the time. They just pick things out that they hear other people saying. And, okay, if it worked for Kenneth Copeland, I'm going to say it too. Jesus was only a man when he walked the earth. He had to be anointed just like the rest of us have to be anointed. That's what they say, but Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, because they that deal truly are his delight. So lying. Proverbs 13:5, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. So Todd White says we shouldn't accuse people. Well, we shouldn't accuse people, but I guess I believe Proverbs 13, that a righteous man hates lying. So we hate lying. We also hate it even more when it has to do with our God and our Lord and Savior, and people masquerading as Christian Bible teachers and going out and deceiving the masses with this stupidity. And it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. Just hard to believe. But a while back, Todd White was given a DVD of a movie called American Gospel, and they talk about him on this DVD. They talk about him being a false teacher. Well, Todd, he thinks that's persecution. He thinks that that's just terrible that they tried to bring to his attention that he was a false teacher. And he was being persecuted. So I don't think so. It's like, grow up already. Maybe if somebody's trying to point something out to you, and I know for myself, when I was involved in Word of Faith, I had friends that would give me books, and they gave me a book one time called A Different Gospel by James McConnell. Well, I had that book for a while. I wouldn't read it because I looked at some of the sentences in the book and it didn't agree with my theology at the time. So I didn't really want to read it, but as I started getting more and more disillusioned with the Word of Faith movement, of course, these people were friends of mine, so when they gave me the book, I didn't act like Todd White, and he said when somebody gave him this DVD that he stomped on it and he broke it and he said, nobody's going to ever look at this DVD and it was from the devil. I didn't get angry at my friends because they gave me a book, or and I didn't take it and stomp on it and say it was the devil. I said, well, I'll look at it. So when I looked at it, and at the time I didn't want to receive it, but eventually I read the book. I said, well, let me read this whole book and find out what, if there's any truth to this. Well, I couldn't deny what I was reading because the man did his research. He did very thorough research for this book. And I couldn't deny what he was saying was true. Just to go back, of course, when you're researching a book like that, you check the footnotes. And you go and you, and I checked all his footnotes, and I researched the documents that he used to write his book. And so I couldn't deny what he was saying, because he had his facts straight. So it helped me. But this guy, he doesn't want any help. He just, you know, if you try to tell him anything that he's doing anything wrong, he starts acting like a maniac. So here's a testimony from this young man that was a fan of Todd White, and he happened to give Todd White this book, I mean this DVD, and then he tells the story of what happened after he gave Todd this DVD. So here you go.
And I told him, Costi Hinn, you know, Benny's nephew. And he goes, oh, Costi hates me, man. Costi hates me. You know, he talks like, he's very, very subtle, but he's just like, Costi hates me, man. He's called me the Backstreet Boy of the gospel. He said some other things. I'm forgetting what exactly, but basically I felt like he's victimizing himself, mm-hmm. because Costi was in his circle and now he's not, and he speaks out against him. Todd White brought up John MacArthur as well, about how these guys like Costi don't believe in the full gospel, that they deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he talked about sensationism and all that, and just it kind of just got a little off. He was just venting for a moment. But I said to Todd, I'm like, Todd, Costi does not hate you at all. Like, I read the letter. He was so kind. He says he loves you in the letter. He goes, love is just a word. I doubt it, man. He says, I'm not going to read the letter. I'm not going to read the letter from Costi. And I said, well, we at least consider the letter and at least consider watching the film. And I had to hand it to him to take it, you know, because he was unwilling to listen. And I said, Todd, like, I think you maybe can hear me say, like, I'm not even calling you anything right now. I'm challenging you on some things, but I just want you to consider the film. I'm not even telling you that the film's right. It was a great resource for me, and I wanted to share to see what you think. And that was really the heart of me wanting to reach out to him, is not to me to bash him over with all the reasons why I think he's false, because I do believe he's a false teacher. But I think the most effective way, which I thought it was going to be effective, it really wasn't in the end of the day, but for me to reach out to him and say, hey, consider this position, and I want to see what you think. So
yeah.
He took it, we parted ways, and then 24 hours later, I get a call, and my phone pops up, Todd White, and my stomach drops. I'm like, oh, man, cool. So I answered the phone, and what happened next really just shook me. I was just shocked. He answers the phone and he says, Trevor, man, I want to thank you, bro, for bringing me closer to Jesus. And at that moment, I'm like, he watched it. You know, what happened? Maybe he's you know, converted or something, like he sees something now, paradigm shift. But he quickly went into defense mode and told me how here I am giving him this film that paints him out to be a heretic and a letter written to him telling him that he's a heretic and false and he needs to repent. And he told me he basically bragged about how he ripped up Kosti's letter, threw it in the trash, and then stomped on the DVD and broke it so that no one could ever watch it. And I thought, oh, great, cool. So he goes on, and I'll rewind to the day before when I challenged him on the sovereignty of God. And I said, Todd, just from a personal experience of how I came out of this false teaching that God's not really in control, was I was in marriage going through some suffering and going through some troubles. And it was the moment that I realized that God was sovereign even over our deepest struggles, that's when the healing began, knowing that God never took his hand off our marriage. And this was something, maybe what was happening, the suffering was a lack of my faith or my wife's faith, or maybe we did something wrong. That was going on. It was a very, very like troubling thought to think maybe I messed this up, but to know that God is sovereign over the most, you know, crazy situations, it brings so much healing and it builds your faith. So he took that piece of information, and then on our phone call the next day, he asked me, he goes, hey Trevor, you've been having marriage problems in the past. Does your wife have a drinking problem? And I was like so taken back by that. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, yeah. Not at all. He doesn't even know. He's never met my wife. I doubt he even knows her name. And I was like, what are you talking about? He said that he saw a post online of her drinking, and I'm thinking, was he looking at my wife's Facebook? I'm so confused. We do have drinks from time to time at dinner, but that was not the source of anything true to what he was saying.
Yeah. So you see, here, these people were friends. I don't know if they were close friends or whatever. And this young man gives him this DVD thinking that he could help him. And so what does he do? Who's the accuser of the brethren, number one? What does he do? He accuses the young man and he comes back with him and tries to intimidate him. But that's one of the forms that they use when you, if you ever try to correct a false teacher, if they're really false, then they always come back and try to intimidate you. Well, look at you. You're having marriage problems, and he's obviously getting a word from the Lord when he, like this young man says, he probably went and looked at his wife's Facebook page and saw that occasionally they have a drink with dinner or whatever. And then he accuses the young man of saying that his wife has a drinking problem. So maybe that's the reason why this young man is questioning the great Todd White, who cannot be corrected, because if you try to correct him, you're persecuting him. And so he must be right to receive all his persecution. Where's the Academy Award? Get out the Academy Award. Okay, here's part two of that interview.
Troubles is because I was watering down the gospel for my wife and that I'm not leading her correctly. And I thought, man, you're kidding me. This is, I at that moment, like, I cannot believe that this is actually happening.
Yeah.
And then Todd goes on to express that last night in a dream, God gave him this vision of this house. And I was in the house with him, and I was with these other sheep telling him to come out of the house and that there was this better way. And you know how those guys, these teachers speak they speak in such imagination that I couldn't even grasp all of the the lingo that he was talking about, but basically in this dream that God gave him to tell me was, at the end of the dream, me and these sheep got destroyed, got lit on fire, and that was confirmation for him to tell me that, to tell me that God's saying that I'm lost and that I'm not following the true way. And he went on to share about how I'm a hypocrite. I stand with people who, you know, believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and that I'm going to walk into this new season of suffering and I'm going to lose my job.
Wow.
And I thought, I could, even talking about it now, like I wish I had it recorded, because this was something that I never heard this side of Todd. He's on stage. He's so kind. He goes up to people and say, God loves you, man. You know, you're awesome. You're right. Amazing. And then here he is on the phone with someone who doesn't agree with him, and he's shooting me to the ground. And
well, we talked on the phone that I mean, within an hour we were on the phone, and you were livid. You were yeah. So excited, in a sense, like, I can't believe this is happening. And I was pacing back and forth, and because I never had anything like that, because I've never had any personal contact with him. But mm-hmm. based on his teaching, based on his theology, I don't trust him, and I never did. I came to some conclusions about him, and so everything that you were telling me was an absolute confirmation.
Yes, that, likewise.
It's not a good thing when this happens, obviously, but in a way, it's a good thing, because now we see what's really going on. He's your buddy when you're on his side, and when you challenge him, even in a loving way, you all of a sudden are the enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, it's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of a thing.
Yeah, I definitely do see that, and it makes me sad. Like, I'm hanging up the phone, I'm just, like, so, like, upset, like, this sucks. But at the same time, it is confirmation, and there was some peace about that, like, okay. But one thing I forgot to mention was, he asked me on the phone, he said, if someone put a gun to your mouth, would you die for the gospel? I said, Todd, absolutely I would die for the gospel. He says, I doubt it. And then he keeps going on about, you know, the season of my life and what's about to happen. And I almost felt very threatened by him over the phone mm-hmm. that he would say something like that.
Yeah.
He's not speaking scripture. He's not saying anything biblical. He's just speaking out of, I think, you know, some anger. I don't know what he's trying to do. I think he views me as weak, and so he's trying to belittle me to not challenge him anymore. I just also was very bothered by the fact that he's trying to get discern these words from God and these visions from God that God wants to share with me. But he gets special revelation from God, and what am I supposed to do with that? Like, what's the conclusion when someone has a vision? Like, how do you know that's true?
Yeah. It's a terrible form of intimidation to do that to somebody. And when somebody is trying to help you, but you claim to be humble, and yet when somebody tries to point something out, maybe that could help you down the road, so you wouldn't be such a deceiver. What does he do? He tells the young man that he's going to be hurt, because he's saying things about this so-called great man of God. How dare you? Oh. Anyway, doesn't it uncover who this man really is? It really does. Here's the last part of the interview.
People in that movement are so, like, emotional and stuck. Like, if I really believed Todd White was the Todd White of, you know, the Michael Jordan of evangelism, I would have been so, like, crushed by what he said, and I would want to repent and get more from what he's trying to say. So that phone call was just, again, confirmation of everything I thought he was and what he's taught. And the crazy, the creepiest thing about all of this was, over the phone, he was very, very angry and defensive. And then I see him in the lobby of the hotel. Actually, I see him in the restaurant of the hotel. And he gives me this huge hug. He said, now that he's in front of his family, in front of other people, he gives me this huge hug and says, man, I love you so much, man. I'm proud of you. And he grabs my face and he puts his forehead to my forehead. And he just looks at me and just is so loving again in front of everyone else.
Wow.
And I, that was the really like almost, violated almost.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I couldn't even say anything. And that's what, that, I think that's what really angered me because of, and I wasn't angry like at him because I hate him or I think he's a horrible teacher. It was just a deception. And I felt angry over the fact that people, we're talking about probably millions of people who follow Todd and they don't see the side of him. I feel like the deception, and it breaks my heart that people are being deceived by him.
Right.
And so that is the whole purpose of me sharing this experience with him. And, you know, I reached back out to him. I texted him. I said, hey, would you be interested in chatting over the phone again to talk more about this vision you had? And he was very unwilling and basically said, you know, I'm blaspheming the Holy Spirit and that I need to repent before God, before Judgment Day.
Wow.
And kind of just left it at that. I'm going to probably stop reaching out, but just kind of leave it be. I've kind of given him the chance to, like, go over what he was saying, but he's very unwilling to talk again. So this is me sharing the story. I feel like people do need to come out and discredit him a little bit, challenge him, because he's under no authority. This lifestyle Christian training he has, the school, his ministry, there's no apparent elders or church authority that he's under. He's basically the everything, you know, for his ministry. And I think that people need to start to question Todd White.
Oh, for sure. The amount of manipulation that he did, I mean, it's like a little bit reminds me of like that kind of cliche of junior high girls who, you know, once you get on their bad side, they just do everything they can to get back at you. But then when they're in front of people, they act differently because they want to basically maintain their power amongst a certain group of people. I mean, you know, it's very manipulative. It's very childish. But yeah, he's all mad at you, and then he's pretending that he's proud of you, and he tells you how much he loves you. And that whole thing of holding your face and pulling him close, that is, that's a egomaniac. If, you know, we had a psychologist on who was familiar with this kind of thing. They could probably give us, you know, the clinical description.
Yeah. They can kind of give you the clinical description that this person is a wolf, a total wolf. If any of us can't repent when we've made an error, and we can't ever receive correction from anyone, then you're puffed up with pride. You're puffed up with pride, and you're getting ready to take a fall. That's what happens. That's usually what happens. These kind of false teachers and false preachers, they don't last long. They can be the flavor of the month, just like Todd Bentley was. He was the flavor of the month for a while. Then he fell from grace once because of his adultery and fornication and his lying. Then he made a comeback, and then he fell from grace again for his lying and his adultery, and probably even worse. It even got worse, I think, the second time with his sexual impurity. And so then I think he's trying to make a third comeback, and there'll be people that will take him back probably and receive him into public ministry, but they shouldn't take him back. He knows that he can, and these people know that apparently this Todd White lives in a $1 million home, and he's taking in millions of dollars, and he's got fame, and he has all the things that the devil can give to a person. And so those kind of things are hard to give up. It's just like Todd Bentley. It's hard. It was hard for him to give up the ministry, because where is he going to earn that kind of a living where you go out and you speak for 1 hour and you get how many tens of thousands of dollars just for 1 hour of speaking? Unless you're a real estate mogul or a Donald Trump or a Steve Wynn or somebody that they know how to make money. These people don't have any skills of their own, except that they have some kind of a skill to deceive people, which they've been very successful at doing, obviously. They don't have any kind of personal appeal, I wouldn't say, in the natural, because their appearance is odd, to say the least, and yet people were accepting. It's like when I first saw Todd Bentley and I saw all the tattoos and everything, I thought to myself, oh, poor guy, he got all those tattoos before he got saved, because I can't imagine anybody getting tattoos after you're born again. I'm sorry, but the Bible says you're not supposed to tattoo your body. So if the Bible says you're not supposed to tattoo your body, then you're not supposed to do it. And okay, if you did it before you became a Christian and you did it out of ignorance, that's one thing. But to mark up your body and to, another thing is ink is toxic, and that ink is always penetrating your skin and getting into your bloodstream. So it's not even healthy. But Todd Bentley, throughout his so-called Christian ministry, he continued to tattoo his body, his neck. And could you imagine how torturous that is to get your neck tattooed? And not only that, not only does it doesn't look right, it's a form of torture for somebody to take a needle and to stick it in your neck hundreds of times. What is wrong with people? But I thought his appearance was odd, and I couldn't understand why people were so accepting of him. And he continued to grow odd as his public acclaim grew, where he would put earrings in his nose, and I think he put earring in his cheek. And who would do that? That's painful too. So why do you hate yourself so much that you want to resort to some form of torture? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So these people look odd. And the way, at one point, if you go back and look at some of the pictures of Todd White, he had short hair. He looked kind of conservative. Then later on, he gets very bizarre looking. And we don't make fun of people's looks, okay? So I'm not making fun of his looks. I'm just saying that he did something to his appearance where he didn't look like that before. He had a very normal looking appearance. And then he put, obviously, these dreadlocks in his hair, which I don't think they're his. I don't think it's his hair. And so he makes himself look different. Instead of just being himself, but he tries to draw attention to himself by the way he looks, and people buy it. But just be happy with the way you look. That's the way God made you. He gave you your looks, and so be happy with it instead of trying to make yourself look bizarre. That is, it's difficult to understand why people want to change their appearance so much that they don't look normal. But I think it kind of goes with the whole deception. And maybe something too in their own makeup where they have to be, they have to have attention. They have to bring attention to themselves somehow. So they do it by making themselves look bizarre. But anyway, here's Todd White on persecution.
I've been, I've been really thinking, I've been listening to messages, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And he said, I've been listening to these different messages of different people, and man, my buddy, I have a friend of mine that actually was director, and he actually made a movie, and it's a movie, and you're in it, and I know what it is. And it's a demonically inspired movie. He mentions a couple names, and I know what it is. He mentions Benny Hinn. He mentions Kenneth Copeland. He mentions Robert Morris. He mentions Bill Johnson. And I'm like, gosh, these are friends of mine. You're in cahoots with Kenneth Copeland. I'll never talk to you again. You're a false sheep. What is wrong with people? Exactly. Listen to me. This is crazy. Yeah, I went and spent time with Kenneth. He came here and did a video. We lost like all kinds of partners. People were like, I'll never partner with you again. You're in cahoots with a false prophet. You have no, Kenneth Copeland has donated more than $70 million to Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. Some of you are even thinking right now, like, oh, this is crazy. You better be careful that you don't just listen to what everybody else, you better hear the Lord. You better hear the Lord. You better know what you're talking about. You better have stone cold proof of somebody's like demonic whatever that you might be assuming. Presumption is sin. No, I went up into my room. I shredded that DVD. I threw it away. I shredded the letter. I threw it away. And the next day I talked to this man. I said, I just want to thank you, bro. He said, for what, man? He's thinking, wow, you watched it. Awesome, man. What'd you think? I said, I want to thank you for bringing me and making me more aware that I just need to step it up a notch, bro. Because the gospel isn't American. The gospel is worldwide. There's only one name that saves, and he paid a price for us to all be free. There's no way that I would watch that DVD, bro. But I want to thank you so much for intensifying my focus. I want to thank you so much for stirring this thing up inside of me, because it might have went a little dormant. But now I'm going to intensify. I'm going to step this up in such a crazy way that if I'm not being persecuted more, I'm not preaching the original gospel. I will not water this thing down. Thank you, bro. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for giving me the truth that sets people free. See, the truth is the reason why, I told him, I said, the reason why you've even given this to me is because you've watered this gospel down to make your marriage better. Because you have a wife that's not pursuing Jesus, so you figure my marriage will get better if I just walk away. So now you refuse to move mountains for the sake of comfortability. I said, no, never. I'm going to step it up and intensify this thing. I'm going to run with Jesus like never before. I'm going to carry the torch so brightly. I am going to start fires wherever I go.
Velvet.
I said, bro, I said, thank you for helping me increase my faith. Thank you for bringing this against me. It's been a little while since, like, intense persecution came. But now that I know that I'm in a movie, praise Jesus.
Oh, intense persecution came. Oh, dear. Let's take up an offering for him. Would you feel sorry for him? It's like, grow up already and be a man. And you see, you heard the young man's testimony. Now, this is Todd White refuting him and publicly embarrassing him by saying, yeah, and he had marriage problems, and I'll do anything for the gospel. Yeah, you'll do anything for the gospel. Yeah. Including saying that Jesus wasn't God when he walked on the earth. Yeah. What gospel are you talking about? What gospel are you talking about? Like the New Age gospel, the Aquarian gospel? Which gospel are you talking about? Because you're certainly not talking about the New Testament. You're certainly not talking about that gospel. And, oh, why would anybody want to say anything about Kenneth Copeland? Because, after all, he gave $70 million to Reinhard Bonnke. Oh, well, it wasn't his own money. I'm sure he doesn't give his own money away. He gives other people's money away, which I can't even believe people give this man any money to begin with. He doesn't need any money. He's rich on his own. He has some kind of oil wells or whatever on his property, natural gas or something that brings in income. So he doesn't even need any offerings, really. And he was saying that he wants to take in $300 million this year. That's how much. What in the world do you need $300 million for? For what? So you can get in your jet and fly all over and collect more money? I don't know. What does this guy really do, this Kenneth Copeland? And then again, you have Kenneth Copeland saying that Jesus Christ had to be born again. A born-again man defeated the devil. A born-again man. So you ask, Todd, you ask, what we have against Kenneth Copeland? He's a false teacher. That's what we have against him. Mark 13:22. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Yes. Luke 6:26 says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Well, that's it. But false prophets, you have to speak well of them. No, you have to speak well of them, because otherwise they curse you and they tell you that bad things are going to happen. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your marriage. Something's going to happen to you physically. Yeah. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Jeremiah 14:14 says, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Obviously, this man is speaking out of the deceit of his own heart. Because you're a liar when you say that Jesus was only a man. You're a liar when you say that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. How does he get unbegotten of the Father? How do you do that? When you say that Jesus laid down his divinity? Oh, please explain that to me. How? Explain it to me. Call me. Email me. Todd. Susan@propheticnews.com. Email me. And please tell me how God can separate himself from being God, since he always was and he always will be. I don't know what Bible you're reading. Some kind of a crazy Bible. Some kind of a very crazy Bible. Another story from Todd White, and he has many, many different stories if you go and start listening to some of his teachings. He definitely likes to read the truth many, many times. But that's what happens when you lie and you don't tell the truth. You can't remember what you said. You know, so. And so then you have to embellish, then later on you tell us something more and the story gets bigger and bigger. Like he tells this story about he had a knee problem and he says that he didn't get healed. First he says that he didn't get healed, but then he changes the story later and he says that he did get healed. So let me see if I can bring up this version of his knee story.
I had torn my knee and I didn't get healed. And I had people pray for me and my knee did not get healed. And I had a torn meniscus and went through surgery and came out of surgery and was hurting really bad in my knee. I've been in so many situations where I've had stuff that I've been dealing with. And like I'll tell you a simple one. I tore my knee one time and I'm like, man, I don't like this, you know. And I'm a guy that's praying for the sick all the time, you know. So God says to me, all right, kneel on the floor. And I'm like, I just want to kneel down. I'm trying to squeeze my knee. And I hear this voice, this still small voice, just go ahead. And I kneel and bent the whole way. And my knee was completely healed. It was ridiculous, man. So amazing. And I received it straight from my Father. So now I have knee and my knee did not get healed. And my knee was completely healed. I've been in so many situations where I've had stuff that I've been dealing with, and like I'll tell you a simple one. I tore my knee one time, and I'm like, man, I don't like this, you know. And I'm a guy that's praying for the sick all the time, you know, all the time. It's never stopped. It's always been nonstop. It's always happening. So I'm praying for people. I tear my knee, and I end up going to a doctor. My doctor is Jewish. He's a Jewish doctor. So I go in there and I tell him, Jesus is going to heal me, man. And he said, listen, I'm Jewish and I don't believe like you believe. But you can see right here, they did the MRI. There is a tear right here. And you need to understand that we have to operate on this because your knee's not going back to normal. I said, man, I'm telling you, Jesus is going to heal me. He goes, all right. He goes, you're very zealous for what you believe in. He goes, that's great. So we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing. I didn't get to see it healed, and it was a bummer. And so surgery was scheduled for 3 weeks later. I had Dan pray for me, all that stuff. So I called Dan one morning, and I'm a little overwhelmed because I told this Jewish guy, that this Jewish doctor, God's son, one of his sons, that he doesn't know it, right, in the Messiah, in Christ. I said, man, God's going to heal my knee. So I'm like, man, God, it'll be great for him to see that he healed my knee, you know. And I'm thinking, heal me because of him. You know, for his sake, not because of me. God would heal you whether anybody found out or not, because he's just good like that. So I'm there with that. I called Dan on the phone. I said, man, my knee is not healed. He goes, I said, man, I just want to kneel down. I just want to worship God, man. You know, and I pray for a bunch of knees in the midst of this thing. And like, people's knees are getting healed, you know. And I'm not really frustrated with it not happening for me, except the fact of this Jewish guy. So God says to me, all right, kneel on the floor. And I'm like, I just want to kneel down. I'm trying to squeeze my knee. And I hear this voice, this still small voice. Just go ahead. And I kneel and bent the whole way. And my knee was completely healed. It was ridiculous, man. So amazing. And I received it straight from my Father. So now I have to go to the doctor. And I have to tell that Jewish doctor. And I'm so excited. So I go to the waiting room, you know. And I'm waiting in the doctor's office, just waiting to go in there. Because I'm on, you know, this is a workman's comp related injury, you know. So I have to go and I have to get him to sign off on this thing. So I go in his office. I say, guess what, man? He goes, what? He goes, why? What's going on? And I started jumping around. I squatted way down the ground, held my squat, stood up, jumped off the ground. He was checking it, moving my knee all sideways, trying to see, you know, whatever. He goes, Todd, he goes, you know, he goes, I appreciate the fact that you think that Jesus healed you. He goes, but honestly, this is workman's comp, so I'll tell you what we'll do. He said, if you can pay $1,100 for an MRI, then I will go ahead and do another MRI because workman's comp isn't going to pay for it. He goes, and that's the only way that I can release you. And I'm thinking, I don't have $1,100. What am I going to do? Like, I go and leave the doctor's office. Kind of like, what do I do? God speaks to me in the car and says, he's my son. I want you to go through the surgery. Why would I go through the surgery? Like, I don't want to have someone cut me open and go through surgery. This is ridiculous. Like, I don't want to do this thing. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm thinking in my heart, God, you healed me. Why would I go through surgery? So I'm thinking, is this the devil? Then I hear God say, he's my son, but he doesn't know it. Have you laid down your life? I'm thinking, devil wouldn't say that to me. So I went through surgery. I go through full expectation, amazing. Go through surgery. I come out of anesthesia. I'm coming to. It's amazing. I'm all groggy. I'm out of it. I'm like, I have this nurse. The people are trying to help me. I get a word of knowledge for the nurse that's there about migraine headaches. I said, do you have a migraine headache right now? I'm totally out of it, but I can remember this clear as day. She goes, yes, I do. Why? I said, can I have your hand, please? She goes, oh, are you okay? I said, yes, I am. I grabbed your hand. I said, migraine headache? You go away in Jesus' name. Coming out of this anesthetic, it's amazing, man. She goes, oh, you're delirious. I said, is your headache gone? She said, yes, it is. I'm like, that's my Jesus, you know. And I
You know, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Because in the first part of this clip, he's at some kind of a forum. He's sitting on a stage with several people, and he's talking about his knee injury. And he tells the people there that he had a knee injury, and he didn't get healed. That's what he said. He had to go through surgery. But here, in the second part of this clip, he embellishes the story, and he says that he had a knee injury, and the doctor was Jewish, and it was workman's comp, so I guess he was injured on a job if it was workman's compensation. So they planned the surgery, but he goes home and he talks to this Dan Moeller guy, and then he apparently he couldn't kneel because of the knee injury, and he had to kneel down because that's the only way he can worship God. I want to kneel down and worship God, he says. I wonder, what God is he talking about anyway? But so he kneels down and he says, my knee is healed. So his knee is, the second story he tells is that his knee was healed after he said the first time that he didn't get healed because he had to go through surgery. But now he says that God healed them. And when he went back to the doctor said, oh, he was laughing under his breath that Todd was saying his knee was healed. But he told him, the only way we can prove that your knee is healed is for you to get an MRI and you'll have to pay for it. Well, instead of getting another MRI, he goes through the torture because he has to go through the torture of having knee surgery so that this guy can come to Jesus. Oh, please. It gets more ridiculous because he says that he didn't have the $1,100. I would have borrowed the $1,100 because there's no way I'm going through painful knee surgery and rehabilitation. I don't have to sacrifice going through torture to get somebody saved like that. No, not like that. I don't have to have. And you claim to be a Christian and then you're going to deceive your insurance company when you say you didn't need the surgery, but you're going to allow the insurance company to pay for surgery that you didn't need so you don't have to pay for an MRI because your knee was healed. That doesn't make any sense. So he goes through the surgery, and of course he's in agony and in pain, and he's delirious, and then he's praying for people. He's praying for the nurse with the headache, and he has to go through rehab. But he did it all so that the Jewish doctor could get saved. Oh. What a story. Anyway, here's the second half of this fairy tale.
In order for my next visit, and my knee really hurt, like he cut me open and did the arthroscopic surgery. So I go in for my next visit, and I said to the doctor, I'm so, like, excited, man. This is God's son. This is why I did it. So he's like, I said, he goes, well, he goes, here's some pictures. We went in. We scraped your kneecap. We did this. We did that. I said, well, and he goes, you know, he goes, it's going to heal up just fine. I have to set you up on physical therapy, and you're going to have to go through that for a little while before we can release you back to full duty. All right, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Gives me the papers and walks out the door, doesn't say anything. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Now I've got to go to physical therapy too. said, God, what's going on? Nothing. He didn't say a word. So I went to physical therapy. After it was actually a week later that I went to physical therapy, really light stuff. And I am praying for people in the physical therapy office and people with neck problems and back problems and rehabilitated shoulders. God is touching them, and they can't wait to get me out of physical therapy because I'm there and everybody's hurting in the whole place. And they're rehabbing my knee, you know. But it was so weird because I was healed. I know I was, right? But that's not the issue. The issue is that all these people need healing too, and God loves them, and they don't know him. And my PT, my physical therapist, they don't know. He doesn't know God. And then the other one, she doesn't, the therapist assistant, she doesn't know God. And every time I talk about Jesus, they're so weird about me. But I can't let that determine whether I'm going to talk about him, so I don't have anything else to talk about. And I've got to be in there for 45 minutes, three times a week, so I get to bring the gospel. So I used my time at home with my rehab for the first couple weeks before I went back to work on light duty to seek and to search out Jesus and the reality of who he says I am. And then when I went to physical therapy, all kinds of people get healed, all kinds of stuff. So I go through all my rehab, get through everything. I get the last visit with my doctor, and I said, ma'am, so will you do me a favor? I said, look, I understand malpractice and all that stuff, and I'm not after that, ma'am. But I know what I heard in my heart. And God told me that you were his son. And did I lay down my life? Have I laid down my life? And I know where I'm at, and I know what I've given myself to. I want to know this. When you showed me the picture, there was no tear. When you showed me the picture, there was no tear like it was. When you went in there, what did you see? And when you went in there, what happened to your heart? He goes, let's just say that I've had a big change of heart. I just want to thank you. And I was like, amen. And he hugged me, and I walked out of that room, and I was so thankful. But in the process of my knee, I saw 36 knees get healed while I was going through that stuff. And that's just one situation of stuff that I've been through. Someone else needing prayer for healing isn't determined by whether you've gotten healed yet. We press in. This is not a formula. It's a fight of faith. So, Father, I thank you that you'd give people great courage, God, that you'd give people great awareness of who they are in you, that, God, their identity would be solid, God, that we would be help in time of need, that would be hope in every situation. Father, I thank you that you would empower people to be free from being in bondage because they're going through something. God, the devil lies and says, why would God heal somebody else and didn't heal you? Or if God never healed this person, why would they heal you? It's all lies from hell. Jesus paid a price for us to be forgiven and for us to be healed. We drink the juice, we eat the bread. Jesus paid a price for us to be forgiven and live unto righteousness. It says, having believed unto righteousness, dashed by his stripes were healed. Father, never let this be a stumbling block for the body of Christ. And I thank you for people that are dealing with issues right now, that they would be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you have a hard time being healed of things, I think you mean being healed yourself, how do you stay confident that others will be healed? That's good. How many people had that question?
Good.
The key word is yourself. You want to go ahead, Dan?
I can tell you, I can tell you what I went through personally, and just, I had torn my knee and I didn't get healed, and I had people pray for me and my knee did not get healed, and I had a torn meniscus and went through surgery and came out of surgery and was hurting really bad in my knee and had the immobilizer on and had crutches on, and I saw 36 knees healed when my knee was in extreme pain and rehabilitation, and it was a hard thing, and I realized that. Like, I like what Leif says. Leif says, like, when Satan bites you in an area, you let him know that you're not going to bite me in this area, because you go after that area, like, where people are hurting in that same place. Like, I told a young lady today that her back was hurting, that it would be a good idea to pray for backs. I feel that sometimes we are really good at looking at ourselves and our situation, and when it comes to that, he tries to get us to look at our lives, and it becomes all about us, instead of it becoming all about God and all about everybody else. So the best thing you can possibly do is to step out and to never allow the sickness or disease or something that you're going through become your personal identity. But your identity be wrapped up in what he says about you,
And you might even find that in the midst of you praying for people that you get healed in the midst of that. So I would suggest highly that if you're going through pain in an area, like your back's hurting in an area or your ankle's hurting in an area, and you're going to find that you're going to come upon a lot of people with the same exact thing that you're dealing with. And odds are, when you pray for them, they'll be healed. And then it'll mess with this a little. But you keep on pressing in and never allow yourself to get into the way and never allow that to become your identity.
Oh, I definitely don't want to identify with your lying. Psalm 119:104 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Every false way. And in the day, it amazes me, because in the day and age that we're living in, everything is recorded. And these people are on YouTube, and they're on Facebook, and they're on all the different social media platforms. And they tell a lie. First, he tells the lie that, or probably at that point, he was telling the truth about he didn't get healed from his knee injury. But then he lies later on, and he embellishes the story, thinking that there won't be anybody clever enough to go back and check to see if what I'm saying is true, because now I've got a different story that I got healed and I went through the surgery so that the Jewish doctor could get saved. But also notice that the Jewish doctor never, when he asked him, "Did you have a change of heart?" Because he tells him, "I'm not going to go after you for malpractice." Because he didn't say it directly to him, but he told him, "I'm not going to go after you for malpractice," implying that the doctor knew he really didn't need surgery, but he did it anyway. Because, oh dear, please. And then he says, the doctor never tells him, "Yes, I knew that you really didn't need the surgery, but I did it anyway for the glory of God so I could have a change of heart." He never admits to anything, but he puts the words in the doctor's mouth that the doctor said, "I had a change of heart." I'm sure the doctor was probably thinking that this guy is cuckoo. I'm sure he wasn't thinking to himself, "Wow, this is really a man of God, because he cheated the insurance company by having the surgery, even though he didn't need surgery. And then he told me he wasn't gonna go after me for malpractice, because he wanted to hear those words that, yes, I had a change of heart." I don't know. Those were some big whoppers, let me tell you. Those were some big whoppers. And that's some of Todd White. How long will he last on the gospel circuit? Not long, no. Because truly, if he doesn't repent, he will not last. Because eventually God judges these people and he takes them out of the public eye. And even if they come back, they never really come back in the full strength of their height of fame. And then there's always a block when you, it's like Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart committed adultery. And the Bible says that when you commit adultery, that the reproach doesn't go away. People always remember it. So that thought never goes away when you think about Jimmy Swaggart. So he's never been able to recapture the glory that he once knew. And it'll be the same thing for Todd White. He'll wind up on the gospel junk heap, and then people will be looking for the next big thing to come along. But if he was wise, if he was truly wise, And he would humble himself in the sight of the Lord and get himself a good Bible, not a Message Bible or the Passion Bible or whatever else new flavor is out there, and take the time to sit down and go away and be quiet. Don't do any public ministry until you get your own head screwed on straight. Why should you go out there and deceive other people? And then you can't even humble yourself enough to examine yourself and to seek the counsel of godly people to help you, to bring you through this thing. Because, yes, God will forgive and God will rehabilitate, but you have to be willing to admit what you're doing and what you've done and how you've deceived people, especially if you have a public ministry, which they call ministry. I don't. I always like to put that word in quotes when I'm talking about these people, because I don't legitimize their so-called ministries in any way, shape, or form. But if he really was a minister of the gospel, he would repent publicly to people for deceiving them and then take the time to study to show himself approved to see if God would ever give him a real ministry, because this is not a real ministry. How this guy ever got to be the voice that he is, I can't understand it, because it's so obvious. But it's the same thing with Kenneth Copeland. When I discovered he was a false teacher, and there was a friend of mine that was really into Kenneth Copeland, and I told her, I said, oh, he's got some terrible teachings. And at that time, we didn't have the internet. This was a long time ago. And she said, well, I never heard him say any of those things. Well, I couldn't prove it because I didn't have the audio. I didn't have the information to back up what I was saying. Now we can go and we can get their audios and we can back things up to prove it. Because people always want proof, and I don't blame them. I want proof too. It's not good enough for anybody just to say something, because anybody could say anything about you, and they will too. But if you have proof, then people can't deny the evidence. And that's the evidence. This man is a false teacher. He's a false prophet. And he needs to repent. He needs to repent. But there was so much more information that was out there. And it would have to be obvious to anybody that had a discerning mind of any kind to be able to figure out what was going on here. But anyway, that's our program for today. And I want to thank all my listeners from around the world. Hi, everybody in the United Kingdom, in Canada, Australia, Singapore, New Zealand, and all the other countries. We have many countries that are listening. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And if you want to email me, you can email me Susan@propheticnews.com, and I will answer you. That's Susan@propheticnews.com. And also remember, we have our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? That's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Lulu, and many different online booksellers. Our website, propheticnews.com, and our YouTube channel, Susan Puzio. And I'm hoping that I will be updating my book sometime in the next few months. I really should get working on it, because I really do want to update it and republish it. And also our YouTube channel. Hopefully I can learn how to make some better videos. It takes skill, really, to do that kind of thing, and you really need to take a class or whatever to be able to make really professional-looking videos. I'm an amateur when it comes to that. I try to get the message out, and that's the most important thing for now. But I think we have to do everything we can do, because the time is short, obviously, in the crazy, crazy times we're living in. And we need God's help like never before. So for us that are in public ministry, we need to work while we can, because there may come a time when we're not able to have these public forums and these public platforms that we're so blessed to have now. And we thank God for Blog Talk Radio and for the other avenues that are available to preach the wonderful gospel. But the most important thing today is, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is to ask him to come into your life. Repent of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us that have been born again know that Jesus Christ came into our life and he gave us a brand new life. He gave us peace and joy that you can't get from any other person or any other way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. And Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you must confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to give you a brand new life, and you can be born again. What a wonderful opportunity. So don't pass him by. You'll never regret it, I guarantee you. God bless you. Thanks, everybody in the chat room, for stopping by. I appreciate you and appreciate your comments. God bless you all today.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.